Okay, so my name is Rochelle, and I'm a PhD student from UC Boulder, and I'm going to be talking about power spectrum and coherence of turbulent structures inside an idealized hurricane, and this is for wind turbine applications. And I'd first like to acknowledge my co-authors, Julie Lundquist, she's my advisor, and also George Bryan, who created the LES model that I will be showing you today. So first, the motivation for why we care about offshore wind, and also why it's important to be going towards this direction is that in this plot here, you can see all of these colors along the coast, and all of these colors represent wind greater than 7 meters per second. And 7 meters per second is considered good for wind energy development. And it just so happens that it's convenient that that offshore is good for wind resources because the peak load demand, which occurs in the afternoon, happens to coincide with the peak wind energy resource offshore, and this is due to mesoscale features such as sea breezes and coastal low-level jets. Also, in the changing climate, research suggests that hurricane strength will increase, so you're getting more of these strong Category 4 and Category 5 hurricanes. And it's also important to note that the current turbine designs are not able to withstand greater than a Category 3 hurricane at this time. So the question really is, with these increase in strength of hurricanes in the current hurricanes now that are Category 5 strength, how can we build our turbines to withstand such force of wind? And one way we can do this is by accurately representing the load inside of these strong category hurricanes. And one way to accurately represent the load is by being able to accurately characterize the inflow into the turbine. And one way to do that is use wind simulators such as TurbSim, which is created by NREL, and it's a full wind field simulator, and it takes inputs of power spectral density and coherence. And so these inputs go into TurbSim to help create the characteristic flow, which can then go into these load simulators such as FAST or Aerodyne. But today my goal is to simulate these power spectral density and coherence parameters so that we can determine what they look like inside of a hurricane. So now that we talked about the motivation, we're going to move on to the actual model that we use to simulate these measurements. So one step of our one thing to talk about is why we're using LES to analyze these idealized hurricane boundary layers. It's because, for obvious reasons, such that observations are sparse inside of strong hurricanes. And the measurements are rare due to instrument limitations, such as drop zones, which only capture a profile throughout the atmosphere, and then also because of the very turbulent nature, we're capturing or doing reconnaissance flights at low altitude is very dangerous. So the next best thing really is large eddy simulations, and these can be used to simulate this 3D wind field to get coherence and power spectrum from. And today I'll be talking about two simulations that we ran, and they are considered complex and simple simulations, and I'll talk about that in the next slide. But to start off, I just want to briefly describe the cloud model version 1, or the CM1 model. And this was created by Dr. George Bryan at Penn State University in NCAR. And it's a 3D non-hydrostatic time-dependent numerical model, and it was originally designed for deep convective systems. So now on to the two different types of simulations that we ran. On the left, we have what we call the complex model, and on the right, the simple model. So focusing first on the complex model, you can see it's a fairly large domain, about 1,000 kilometers on one side. And inside of this domain, we have the entire hurricane. We have a full, everything you would expect inside of the hurricane, the natural hurricane. You have rotation and eyewall and eye. And then within this square box here, the blue square box, we have an LES subdomain where most of the turbulence is being resolved. And so the complex simulation would really be ideal to use because you're getting this full hurricane flow, but the complex simulation requires a lot more CP hours, approximately two orders of magnitude more than the simple simulation on the right. So for that reason, we can't run hurricanes at really large radii and also at the sort of scales we need to look at for turbine applications. So the simple model is shown here on the right, and this is just the entire domain in this white box here. It's not a nested domain. This is just to show the size of the simple model compared to the complex. So you'd see it's much smaller, but within this LES domain, a hurricane-like wind profile is being created. So just to get an idea of what the flow looks like within these two simulations, you can see this is just a zoomed-in picture of this LES subdomain. You can see this rotation, you see the eye wall, the eye, and also these little red features are mesovortices, or areas of really intense wind speeds that have been found in observations greater than 90 meters per second. And in the simple model, we also see these eddies, and this is very zoomed in here, and this is just a 7x7 grid at 31-meter horizontal resolution. And to look at this animation, imagine looking down on the turbine, and this line here represents a theoretical rotor diameter. And you can see that in the simple simulation, you have eddies of different strengths passing through the width of the rotor diameter, and you can imagine this causing great load and fatigue on the turbines. So another comparison between the simple and complex model to instill more trust into the simple model is that at the same temporal and spatial resolution, and this is shown at two different radii in the hurricane, that the complex and simple models agree very well. So these solid dashed lines are 2-hour averages, and the thin lines are 10-minute averages. And you can see at 20 kilometers, they compare very well in magnitude and shape. And at 30 kilometers, we have a near-perfect match between the two. And just to look at the turbulent features, because that's what we're concerned about within the hurricanes, and this is the simple at a radius of 30 kilometers, and then the complex at the same radius. You can see that the turbulent features within the two look very similar, so the simple model is capturing turbulent features that you would see in this complex full hurricane simulation. So now to move on to the power spectral density, just wanted to mention first that the power spectral density shows the energy content of turbulence at each frequency and is an input into the TurbSim wind simulator that I mentioned before. And for this a study, we're going to focus on longitudinal turbulent wind component. And to read this plot, we're just looking at frequency increasing to the right on the horizontal axis, and on the vertical, energy or power is increasing upwards. And I plotted here the simple model simulation at 100 meter altitude, and you can see that the frequency that contributes the most power to the flow is at a frequency slightly greater than 10 to the negative 2. It's where this peak occurs. And you can also see that it follows the Kolmogorov law in the inertial subrange, and then drops off expectedly because of the LES integration scheme trying to maintain stability by dampening those higher frequencies. And to compare with the complex model, this is at the same altitude. It's shown in black. The complex and simple model agree very well on curvature and magnitude. And to demonstrate that this occurs at all the altitudes, I just plotted the 200 meters at the simple and complex as well. So now that we've instilled more trust into the simple model, I want to compare to observations. Now, observations are very rare, especially at these altitudes and in strong hurricanes. But I was able to get a time series of which created this blue line here, of observations from Hurricane Isabel. And these observations were taken during the coupled boundary layer air-sea experiment, and they were provided by Dr. Jun Zhang at the Hurricane Research Division. Now, the data were taken during Isabel, which was the Cat 5 hurricane at the time, and the data were taken for 6 minutes, and at a very low altitude of 194 meters. And the data were taken at a radius of 130 kilometers, which was a Category 1 strength at that radius. And you can see that the simple model in red and the sea blast data in blue compare well with the slope up until the LES drop off, and they compare particularly well in this inertial subrange. There is some offset at the lowest frequencies, but not very much, and this is possibly due to estimation of the input parameters in the simple model to best match the observations. And now moving on to just looking at the simple model results of power spectrum. And this is at the highest resolution that was run of a 16 meter horizontal resolution. And the power spectral density is shown here, or contoured here. And I did it for four different radii. So we have closest to the eye at the top left, and then furthest from the eye at the bottom right. And you can see that the power spectral density remains high. This is the peak here in these darker colors throughout the entire altitude in this plot. So it expands the entire turbine height. And also, another thing to note, inside of the hurricane boundary layer, the peak energy happens at these higher frequencies out to 10 to the negative 1 hertz. And another thing to note, as you're getting further away from the eye wall, so these the 40 kilometers, 130 kilometer radii, you can see that the span that the energy, the dominant energy, comes from a wider range of frequencies. And you can imagine this being difficult for turbine designers to avoid these frequencies. Now, comparing the model power spectral density to theoretical spectral models such as Keimel and von Karman, which are currently used in TurbSim, you can see that the Keimel and von Karman shown in purple and teal here match the shape until the LES drop off, but underestimate or are just smaller by 2 times the simple simulation power spectral density. And moving on to coherence in the hurricane boundary layer, coherence describes how turbulence is correlated as a function of spatial separation, wind speed, and frequency, and is also another input into TurbSim. So just as an example, if for coherence, if I want to look at the power spectrum at this spot and then look at the power spectrum over here, I would take the coherence and see, it's basically telling you how much the flow agrees between these two horizontal separations. So what I found is that I did just what I talked about before, where I started off at this far point, so you can imagine that being the tip of one of the turbine blades, and then I measured what the coherence was between here and 16 meters, then here and 32, and so on, to see how coherence varies with horizontal separation and also with frequency. So I plotted 4 different frequencies here with horizontal separation and coherence on the axes, and I found that coherence decrease more quickly at these higher frequencies as expected, and also they decrease faster than the lower frequencies as separation increased. The low frequency eddies remain strongly correlated or coherent out to 45 to 50 meters, which high coherence is considered around 0.6 here. So these lower frequency eddies remain coherent longer than what has seen in observations. Now, these are preliminary results, but it may be possible that coherence is dependent on model resolution. So just to move on to conclusions, we found that the simple LES model compared well with the full hurricane model or the complex model. And also the peak power spectral density in the hurricane boundary layer spanned all elevations and radii that could be concerning to a turbine. And also the hurricane boundary layer consisted of these high frequencies that contribute a significant amount of energy to the flow. And the theoretical spectrum Keimel and von Karman matched the simple model curvature, but were 2 times smaller than the simple model. And finally, that coherence in the hurricane boundary layer may persist at larger horizontal separations than seen in non-hurricane boundary layers. And also, coherence decreased with greater separation and decreased much faster at higher frequencies.
The boundaries of your models, mm-hmm. What's the forcing on the boundaries? Is that a sort of cyclic boundary?
So in the simple model, it has a periodic boundary.
Right.
So it's going in, it's coming out. And the, what do you mean by?
Yeah, well, that's it.
Okay.
And the, you were talking about category 5. Mm-hmm.
So, no, we haven't done that, but sort of in an indirect way by looking at different radii, because at different radii there's different wind speeds and different strengths. So kind of looking at the 130 kilometer radii, that was about a category 1 hurricane, but not, we have not specifically ran weaker hurricane than a Category 5.
Plans for further?
Yes, so we still have, we're wanting to run even higher resolutions to determine a more quantitative sense of what coherence and power spectrum look like. And also, I want to look at the other wind components, the UNV components as well.
Okay.